I mean, I know how I feel, so I hope that there's not much.
Most of them is thought, if we can just close the door, I can bother you for that. And we're learning a sugya on Daf Yudom and Aleph, if you recall. Yesterday we spoke about what's called Shtei Kupos. So you have these two measurements of stuff, whether it's chametz, matzah, truma, kula, whatever it might be, and they go into two different kupos, two different containers. And then we apply the principle of tliya. We say that the chulin went into the chulin, the truma went into the truma, the chametz went into the bayis she'eino baduk, and the matzah went into the bayis baduk. Then we had a sugi called shnei shvilin here on the top of daf yud, and that was a case where a rodent took chametz into one of two batim. Both batim had already been checked, and now the question is: do we assume? I mean, there's no logical way of guessing which house it went in. So we can't say that one house would require a second bedika and the other house would not. So it's got to be an all or nothing proposition. Either both batim are okay and neither of them need a second bedika, or both batim are not good and they really require a second bedika. Because we can't paskin, you know, lakula for one bias and lakumer for the other bias. We know that both batim are equally involved in the suffix. We don't know where the chametz went in. So the Gemara quotes the halach of Shnei Shvilin. Now, Shnei Shvilin, according to Rava, works like this. Two people went down two different roads. We know for sure that one of them contracted tumah because, as Rashi says, the kever was situated in a kind of horizontal way, in such a way that he certainly... Well, we don't know which of the two roads actually has the kever. So in such a case, the law goes as follows. If they both come together, Reuven and Shimon, and he asks the question, then we're going to have to be metame both of them. If, on the other hand, they came one after the other, then we could be metire both of them. And we had a long discussion yesterday about how that works, whether it's kium or birur. If, on the other hand, they came, only one of them came, and he asked the question on behalf of not only himself, but on behalf of his friend, in such a case, the Gemara says, there's going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says that, you know what? He's asking for his friend. Well, let his friend come by. His friend didn't come by. Right now, he's asking the question, and the horah, the final verdict, is going to be given to him. He has a cheskes tara, therefore we can be mitire him, and let his friend draw the necessary conclusions. Rabbi Yossi says no. In effect, they're both there asking the question together, and therefore the hora has to be given for both of them. There's no way that we can be mitire both of them, knowing full well that one of them is tame, and therefore we're going to have to be mitami both. The Gemara now, according to Rashi, equates this to the case of chametz. So you have chametz going into one of two houses. Both houses were baduk. And the question is, which house has to now have a repeat bedika? If each one of these two balei batim come individually, if Reuven comes forward and he asks his question, and Shimon comes forward separately and asks his question, we could be mekil for both of them. And we could say to both of them, well, you have a cheskas baduk, we're not going to assume that the chametz went inside the house. Tosa says, there's only one suffix here, because the chametz is very large, it's a large volume of chametz, and therefore we don't have a right to assume that the achbar consumed that large piece of chametz. If, on the other hand, both balei batim, Reuven and Shimon, came in together to ask the question, then we're going to have to require bedika for both of them, because we know for sure one of them requires bedika, we're not sure which. If, on the other hand, one of the two comes in, but he asks the question on behalf of his friend as well, that's going to be a machlokas in which Rabbi Yehuda would be mekil and Rabbi Yossi would be machmir. Rashi points out that we have to interpret this Gemara in a derabbanan light, meaning there already was bittel. And since there already was bittel, the requirement of bedika is only derabbanan. And therefore, since it's only derabbanan, we can be mekil in the case of suffix, since each house is already baduk, and there's a suffix, a 50% chance that the chametz did not go into that house, we can apply the principle of sofik derabbanan lekula because he already did bittul. If, according to Rashi, he had not done bittul, then the requirement of bedika would be doraisa because of bal yorabai motze, we could not possibly be makil in sofik. Because once the achbar went into the house, and we're not sure, but maybe it had chametz inside, in its mouth, we have to require another bedika, because otherwise he'll be violating two lavim d'oraisa. That's if he didn't do bittul. And that's where we more or less landed yesterday. So for today, if everyone could find the place, we're up to sofek ol, sofek lo ol. Now, if I can give you a hint, I mean, one way would be to count the number of lines from the top of the page, if that helps. It's about 15 lines.
From the Tosas Al.
Oh, exactly. If you take a look at Tosas Al, which is about the fifth Tosas on the page, and then you go up about two lines, three lines, you'll see a line that begins with the words Rabbi Yehuda, and at the end of that line, we have the case of Sufek Al, Sufek Lo Al. Now, what's the case over here? We have a chotzer. And in this chotzer, in this courtyard, we have a bayis boduk. We see a rodent that's holding on to chametz in the chotzer. Okay, it's running around the chotzer. We're not sure that it went into the house. Now, notice that in all other cases, until this, how shall I say, critical crossroads in the Gemara, we've always discussed the case where the achbar went into the house. We're not sure always what it carried in its mouth. We're not always sure which house it went into. But here's a question where we don't even know if it bichlal went into the house. Hainu bikah. The Gemara says that the proper analogy in this case, again to the laws of Tumah Vitara, is to the case of bikah. And with regard to bikah, which we'll talk about in a minute, b'plugta d'Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan, the issue here of the achbar that may have gone in from the chutzah into that house, maybe didn't go into the house, would depend upon the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan regarding bikah. Now, it seems that Rashi did not necessarily have the exact text that we have. And the words ubiplukta de Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan, according to Rashi, should be omitted from the text of the Gemara. And the reason for that is because, as Rashi is going to point out, this issue of Sufik Ol, Sufik Lol does not depend upon the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan. Everyone's going to agree what the deal is in this case. Disnan. And now we're quoting a Mishnah from Masechta Bava Basra. It appears in many places in Shas. It's also a Mishnah in Taros. And that Mishnah records a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan. We have to see again, as I said at the outset, whether that machlokes is relevant to the issue of Bedikas Chometz. Hanichnas lebika. Bika is an area, a wide circumference area that has in it many different fields. It's very similar to the case of chotzer that we mentioned before, where you have a courtyard and many different homes spill into that same common courtyard. Here we have an area which is called a bika. Now, the reason why we're going to have an issue about this bika is because we have to define the bika under one of two categories. It's not clear how to define the bika. Whenever we have a suffix with regard to tumah, we have to know, are we dealing with a reshus hayachid or are we dealing with a reshus harabin? Now, technically, reshus harabin means an area where people, anyone, you know, walking down the street has access, he has free access to go into that area. In other words, no one has the right to object because it's not owned by any individual. In the case of a bikah, we have many different fields in this bikah, but each field is owned individually, which means that each owner has the right to say, you can't trespass into my sada. And here, we're going to have a distinction, according to the Chachamim at least, between different seasons in the year. And the Chacham say the following. B'yamos ha-geshamim, certainly during the rainy season, we can understand that the fields are what we call a reshus harab. No one has rights to go in there because during the rainy season, the rains are coming down and he's already sown. In other words, it's after the planting season. And therefore becomes a reshus hayochid. Why is it a reshus hayochid? Again, I'm trying to explain why it's a reshus hayochid. During the rainy season, we're talking about after the planting. Once the planting was done, and now the seeds are taking, and they begin to develop, we don't want people trespassing in the land. They can disturb the zroim, these planted seeds. And we need the rains to come down. The moisture from the rains is going to seep underneath the ground, and it's going to help the growth and the tzmicha. And therefore, in such a case, v'tuma b'sada plonis, v'omar echad halachti b'mokom halaz, v'edi yodem nechnasti b'osa sada v'imlo nechnasti, is the Chachamim are going to insist that in this case he's tamei. So what's the case? The case is that you have this bika, it's during the rainy season, every owner of every field has rights and will insist on implementing those rights to prevent anyone from going in there. During the rainy season, it's off limits. Now, we know that a corpse was buried in a particular sada. However, although we can identify that sada, we're not sure if so-and-so, it doesn't matter who it is, went into that sada or didn't go into the sada. So we ask so-and-so. And he says, you know what, I walked in this bika, but any day, I'm not sure if I walked into that particular field. Because again, a bika is a collection of different fields. So we know which field, we can isolate and point to that field that has tuma in it, that has a kever. But we're not sure, or shall we say Reuven is not sure, whether he entered into that sada or not. So therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer, for example, we have what's called a safek tuma b'rshus hayochid. If we don't know in a private area if a person did contract tuma or did not contract tuma, we always have to apply the principle of tame, safek, tame. And that's exactly what the Chachamim say over here. The Chachamim say that if it's a reshus hayochid, because during the rainy season no one's allowed to enter into that field, and that defines it as reshus hayochid, he doesn't know if he came in contact with the kever in that particular field, the answer is safek tuma reshus hayochid. However, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, and we have to understand why. Does Rabbi Eliezer deny, which is a whole sugya in Sota that we derive from the parasha of Sota, that safek tuma reshus hayochid is tamei? That's a fundamental principle that any doubt that we have regarding the status of a certain person, whether he contracted to him, he didn't. If that suffering took place, it was nolad b'yirshus hayochid in a private area, then sveiko tame. So Rabbi Eliezer is forced now to explain and justify his position. Shahoy Rabbi Eliezer Omer, suffek bia tahar, suffek maga b'tuma tame. In other words, if I know I went into a field, I just don't know if I came in contact with the kever. Or, for example, I know that I have a sheretz, some sort of a dead creature that is metame in my house, but I just don't know if I touched it or I didn't touch it. Then we say safek tuma reshus hayochid. If it's a reshus hayochid, it's safek tuma. But there's a different case when you have safek bia. Safek bia means I never went into this reshus hayochid, or at least I'm not sure if I ever entered into the reshus hayochid. All of the sfeikos, which even if you pile one on top of the other, are all tame in the case of reshus hayochid. That's only because of one premise that was absolutely certain, and everything is built on top of that premise. What is the foundation stone? He definitely went into the reshus hayochid. But if a person has doubts as to whether he entered into reshus hayochid, so then we don't apply the dinim of reshus hayochid because we don't even know he went into reshus hayochid. So we can take all the sfeikas in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and pile them and combine them into one suffix, which is not enough to be Matayr him, but now we can add another suffix. Did he go into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid? So if we don't know whether he went into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and then even if he did go into Rosh Hashanah Yochid, we have all these sfeikas, then in that case, we don't apply the principle that all the sfeikas that you pile up, all the different possibilities, lakula, latar, will give you a single suffix, which again, as I emphasized, the single suffix is not enough to be matayr someone. But if I have another suffix, which means suffix bia, I don't even know if he went into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, then I don't apply the principle of suffix to Rosh Hashanah Yochid sfeiko tamay. Because if you only knew that for sure he went into Rosh Hashanah Yochid, in other words, now we don't know if he had contact with the Tumah, but I know he went in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, then you can add Sveikas. And you can say all of them are Tumah, because that's the din of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So you don't know if he touched the Tumah, that's Sofek Maga. Let's say you didn't know if the Tumah had a full shear, that would be another Sofek. But here, where we don't even know if he went into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that Sofek Nichnas, Sofek Lo Nichnas, that already gives me two sveikos. We don't know if he went into the field, and even if he went into the field, we're not sure if he came in contact with the tumah. That's a bona fide svek sveika. And here, says Rabbi Eliezer, even in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, we can be metayer. So what do the Chachamim hold? Why do they say that he's tameh? And the answer is because Chachamim hold that sofek to Rosh Hashanah Yochid tameh applies even in a case of a svek sveika. So whereas Rabbi Eliezer is willing to apply a double suffix theory, that the Torah did not establish that a person is tummy in a double suffix, so I don't even know if he went in, and even if he went in, I don't know if he came in contact with the kever. The Chachamim hold that when the Torah says that suffix tu Rosh Hashanah Yochid is tummy, it applies even in a svek sveka situation. And even if you add now into the mixture the suffix bia, it still remains a svek sveka. So take a look for a moment at Tosfos, Dibra Maskel Sofek the Sheni, the second Tosfos, the two Tosfos that start with the same word Sofek. We're looking at the second one. Sofek Biatar, this is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, Pirishri, Divisvek Sveka Pligi, that essentially the argument, the debate here between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim revolves around Svek Sveka. Which means that whereas Rabbi Eliezer is willing to apply the principle that a double suffix is tahar, the Chachamim say that in Rosh Hashanah Yochid even a double suffix is tameh, and that's what we find in Rabbeinu Chananel in Masecht Avodah Zarah. But Rashi in Masecht Avodah Zarah has a different pshat. V'nira l'rid the time of the Rabbi Eliezer the mitar b'svek sveka mishum delo gamrina misota l'tameh b'Rosh Hashanah Yochid el b'sveka achas kisota. What it means is the following. In the Sota case, she went into Yichud, into a private place, a locked door, with a man, and now we don't know if they had a relationship or they didn't have a relationship. Was there intimacy? Was there not? That's one single suffix. And the Torah says that she has to drink from the Mei Merorim, and if she doesn't drink from the Mei Merorim, she's Asur al Baila, even though it's a suffix. And the answer is, since you went into a private place, the Torah says that any suffix that is nola that exists in a private place is always l'chumra, and therefore we have to assume that she may have indeed had such a relationship. She can no longer live with her husband. She's got to drink from the Mei Merorim or the Mei Sota in order to clear her record, so to speak. And Rabbi Eliezer says, well, if we're going to apply this principle of suffix tamei to Rosh Hashanah Yochid in general, when a person may or may not have contracted tumah, then it's got to be dumya, it's got to be similar to the case of sota, just like in the case of sota there was only one suffix. But let's say, for example, you had two suffixes. You don't even know if she went into a private place, with a private area with this man. And even if she did, we don't know if she had a relationship with him. That would be svek sveka. And even though it's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it's a private area, we would not apply the principle of tameh. And that's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, meaning the paradigm case from which we derive suffix to Rosh Hashanah Yochid is a single suffix. But had it been a double suffix, we don't know if she went in there or she didn't go in there, then it would be mutter. It would be tar.
For Rabbanan Savri, okay, fine. Now we have to understand the Chachamim. You know, we have a principle that Dayol Levam and Adin, you can't derive a greater conclusion from the original source. The original source is Sota, that was only one Safed. Says the Chachamim, Keva de min Adin afilu b'sfeik achas hayu l'tar de'ukmi aches kastara v'afilu achi tomehu is who Adin afilu betray sfeikit. Now it's true that the case of Sota is a single Safed, but the Chachamim argue that there's a much more fundamental issue here. We're not calculating Sfeikas, you know, counting Sfeikas. Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? But rather, what we want to know is whether the Torah relies on a Chazakah. Normally a person has a Chazakah, status quo. In the case of a married woman, she has a Chazakah of Kashrus, that she wouldn't do something to undermine her relationship, her issues. And now the Torah says, well, you know what? She's alone in a private place. Forget about the Chazakah. Once you forget about the Chazakah, then I don't care anymore, according to the Chachamim, how many Sfeikas you have. Because fundamentally the issue is, do you rely on a Chazakah or do you not? So if the Torah says, well, you know what? Sfeik l'chumra. If there's one single Sfeik, you go l'chumra. In other words, that Sfeik will now create what we call a reis on the Chazakah. That Sfeik. So that's one thing. But it doesn't mean that we're going to completely undermine the entire enterprise of Sfeikas. And if we have a double Sfeik, that's Sfeik Sfeika. The Chacham, on the other hand, say, well, wait a minute, there's no difference between one Sfeik and two Sfeikas. Everything boils down to the question of whether the Torah relies on the Chazakah here or doesn't rely on the Chazakah. And in Rishus HaYachid, the Torah doesn't rely on Chazakah. I'll prove it to you from Sota. And if you don't rely on Chazakah, then how do I know what the status of this person is? I always have to take the high road, so to speak, and be more stringent. Now let's apply this to the case of chametz. I have a house that's located in the chotzer. The achbar now goes into the chotzer. He's got a piece of chametz. Did it go into the house? Did it not go into the house? Well, we're talking about a rishus hayachid. And the Gemara assumes that this should depend upon the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you could apply the principle of Sfeik Bia. We don't know whether the rodent went into the house or didn't go into the house. According to the Chachamim, on the other hand, we're going to apply the principle of Rishus HaYochid. And Rishus HaYochid means any Sfeik and any number of Sfeikas that I apply is always going to be Lechumra. So, for example, I don't know if I went into the Sada where there's a dead body. And even if I went in, I don't know if I had contact with it. The Chacham say still, it's a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore Sfeiko Tome, even in a Sfeik Sfeik. And here also, I don't know whether or not the Achbar went into the house or didn't go into the house. The Rabbanan are going to say that you have to do a repeat Bedika. So therefore, in Bedikas Chametz, we're going to derive from Rabbi Eliezer that you don't need Bedika. Now comes along Rashi, and he says the following. You'll see the Rashi, Dibri HaMaskil V'Chachamim, which is basically the last of the skinny lines in Rashi. When I say the skinny lines, I mean the super skinny lines, right? And Rashi says the following, Dahavile Sofek Tum Rishus HaYochid. The Chachamim say that if you don't know Sfeik Ol, Sfeik Lo Ol, you don't know whether you entered into that Sada where the mess is or not, you're Tame. Says Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer, Lo Choshev Le Sfeik Tuma, Elim Kein Nichnas Le Sada. Right? If he knows he went into the field, Eni Odev Hehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehehe then we apply the principle of Sofik Tumah. Aval Hashta, but now that he doesn't even know if he went in there, that's called a Svek Svek. Okay, fine. Now, says Rashi, V'gabi Batim, how do we apply this machlokas to the case of Batim? Says Rashi, Afilu Rabbanon Modu. Even the Rabbanon would be Mekil here in the case of Batim. And why is that? The Kevon, the Bedikas Chomis, the Rabbanon, again, Rashi Lashitosu, that says he already did what?
Bittul.
Right, he already did Bittul. So he's covered his bases as far as the Torah is concerned with Bali Rabbi Imad. So the only requirement of Bedika is the Rabbanon. Then we have a whole different story. Talina Lakula, when it comes to Sofik the Rabbanon, it's irrelevant to Rishus HaYochid, that whole discussion doesn't apply. We have an overall super duper principle called Sofik Drabbanon Lakula. And Rashi says that therefore this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is irrelevant. Therefore comes out according to Rashi, the bottom line is that even the Chachamim, who are mitame, in the case of a Sfek Sfek and Rishus HaYochid, as far as Tum is concerned, that doesn't have any implication. They would also be on board together with Rabbi Eliezer in the case of the Batim, in the case of Bedika, to allow for a Kula and apply the principle of Sofik Drabbanon Lekula. Why? Because he already did Bittul. Hence, we understand according to Rashi that you have to take out the Girsa, remove the words that we have in our text that say Ube Plukta de Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanon. In other words, when the Gemara, as we have it in our text, initially presented and formulated the Sufik, the Gemara says, well, it depends upon the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanon. Rashi can't tolerate those words, because according to Rashi, even the Rabbanon would agree that in case of Bedika, we could be Mekil. And why is that? Because he already did Bittul, and it's only a Rabbanon, Sufik, the Rabbanon, Lekula. Now, what I find very odd about this Sugya, according to Rashi, even if we take out those few words, is the following question. Why did the Gemara Bechlal have to stretch its arm out to learn a whole sugya about Bika in Hilchas Tumah, that Rabbi Les is Matayr and so forth and so on? Who needs that? I mean, if you're going to, at the end of the day, nobody denies that it's a Suffolk here. You know, we don't know if he, you know, if the Akbar went into the house or didn't go into the house. See, where the Akbar was seen, was witnessed holding on to the Chametz in the Chatzar, but not in the house. And if that be the case, then you're dealing with a Sofik Drabbanon. Why is it Sofik Drabbanon? You already did Bittul. If that be the case, then the whole discussion here seems to be totally superfluous. Do you follow my point? Because you're going into a machlokas about whether or not Sfek Sveka is Litara. You know, we could be Matayr in a Sfek Sveka in a case of Sofik Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid, and Rabbi Eliezer says yes, and Rabbanon say no. That's a very fine issue, but it doesn't really clarify anything as far as Bedika, because Bedika is only Drabbanon, and therefore surely we're going to apply the principle of Sofik Drabbanon Lekula. It seems to me that maybe what Rashi wants to clarify, or shall I say, according to Rashi, what the Gemara wants to clarify, is that this case of Bika is different, fundamentally different, from all the other cases that we had until now. Well, let's go over quickly the two cases that we had until now. Three cases, actually. The first of the three cases was, we don't know what's in the mouth of the Akbar, because did the Akbar take it from this pile, which is a pile of matzah, or from this pile, which is a pile of chametz? In the context of that first Shaila, the first Safek in the Gemara, we said that since we saw the Achbar, we don't know which of the piles it went into, that's called Kol Kavur Kemechtzal Mechtzedon. And therefore, when the Achbar goes into the house, then we have to assume, L'chumra, that it's holding Chametz. And here, we're not going to apply the principle of Safek Drabbanon Lekula. Let me give you another example. We have the Shnei Batim, Echad Barak, Echad Eino Barak. This is the Sugya of Shnei Kupos. There also, the Gemara says that fundamentally, we would apply the principle of Sofek Doraisa L'chumra, and we would block the application of the principle of Shnei Kupos, of Tliya. And what we see over and over again is the pattern is such that we do not apply the principle of Sofik Drabbanon Lekula unless we have some overriding reason to do so. Like, for example, Kol D'Parsh Merubah Parsh. Let's say we didn't see the Akbar running out
of one of the tziburim. We see the akra holding on to the chametz in his mouth. We don't know where it came from. Did it come from this group of matzah, piles of matzah, or this pile of chametz? So in that case, we're going to say called the parsh merubah parsh. But we see we need some sort of overriding reason or principle to apply, because otherwise we're going to say he has to do a bedikah. In the case of shtei kupos, we have to implement this special, unique svara of shtei kupos, of tliya, in order to absolve him from his chiyuv bedikah. In case number three, we had two batim, and what we did was we separated the suffix of the two batim. Each bias had its own bala bias and its own suffix. But if, on the other hand, we had both of them coming together, then we'd have to require another bedikah. Now the Gemara wants to know, what about a case that's totally different? We have an achbar with chametz in its mouth, but we don't know if the achbar went into the house. Here's where the Gemara wants to clarify the parameters or the bounds of requiring a second bedikah. In the first three cases, we seriously contemplated, and there are scenarios in which we actually paskin that he requires a second bedikah. Here, the Gemara wants to say, no, we're not going to require a second bedikah. Well, why not? Is there some super principle that you're applying here? In the case of Kol D'Parish Merubah Parish, you applied that principle to establish that this was not chametz. In the case of Shtei Kupos, you applied this principle of Tliya to establish that the achbar with the chametz in its house went into the bais eino bug. So again, you're operating with a certain principle. In the third case of two balabatim, each one is asking the question. There also we had a new principle that we can separate one bais from the other, and therefore each bias remains in its status quo. But what happens if you cannot apply that principle, those supra principles of shtei kupos, of tliya, or kol d'parish merubah parish, or cheskas habayis? All those go down the tubes. There's only one bias, and there's one achbar, and he's holding on to a piece of chametz. So you can't tell me, well, let's split between one bias and the other and give a hurrah for each bias separately. You can't say kol d'parish merubah parish. How do I identify the piece of pastry that the achbar has had? We know it is chametz. We can't apply the principle of tliya because we don't have two achbarim that are going into two different batim. So if we cannot apply any of the above principles, let's say, repeat the bedikah. Let's paskin that he has to go l'chumrah. That's what the Gemara needs here from Suffolk all, Suffolk law, the Sugya Bika. The Sugya Bika is going to be Machadesh, a new concept, which is called Suffolk Bia. We don't know if the Achbar went into the house at all. The Achbar went into the Chatzer. We don't know if the person went into the Sadeh where there's a Kever. Rabbi Elazar says that adds a whole new perspective to the suffix. All the sfeikas that we have were built on the assumption that there was a bia, and now we don't know if he contracted tumah, he didn't contract tumah, was, you know, what did the achbar have chametz in his mouth, so forth and so on. Did the achbar eat up the chametz? All these are predicated on the fact that there was a vadai bia. And if there's a vadei bia, we have to be very nervous, and we have to really come up with some brilliant svara to exempt you from a repeat bedika. We're not going to just say simply suffik derabbanu lekula. So I've also, what I'm trying to say, and I don't know if anyone's following me because I feel like I'm talking to the walls. What I'm saying is that the Gemara needs bika to justify the application of suffik derabbanu lekula. We would not apply suffik derabbanu lekula in the case of bedikas chametz. Bedikas chametz is unique. Bedikas chametz, as we said over and over again, was established because the chachamim want you to be in a state of vadai, of absolute certainty. I know for sure there's no chametz here. That's why I have to be bodeh. Because otherwise, why did the rabbanan bechlal institute bedikas chametz? I don't know that I have chametz in the house. Can anyone swear on a stack of Bibles that there's chametz in the house? My wife did a good job of cleaning. But the answer is that the Chachamim wanted to create a vadai. If that's the goal, then don't apply the principle of Safik Drabon Lakula. The whole essence of this takana, the enactment to require Bedika, was to establish vadai. Don't apply the laws of Safik. And that's why the Gemara needs Bika. The Gemara needs to find some significant principle that would justify applying Safek Lekula in the case of Bedikas Chametz. And what is that principle?
Yeah.
Safek. We don't know Bechlal if the Achbar went into the house. In all the other cases that we discussed, the Achbar went into the house. You can talk about Chametz Ahin, Chametz Aher, you know, did it have Chametz? Did it not have Chametz? Was, you know, can we apply Rov, or it's called the Parsh Meruba, or called Kavua Kemetz Al Mechza Dami, or, for example, can we say that the Achbar went into the house, but it's not my house, it's his house, you know, I'm going to point to him. But the Achbar definitely went in. There was a Vadai Bia. Now we have all sorts of Sfeikas inside the house, you know, and whether the house requires Bedikah. But what happens if we have a case where the Achbar is running around with Chametz, but nobody can testify, nobody saw that the Achbar went into the house? That's called Bika. And that's what Rabbi Eliezer wants to be Mechadish, that even in the case of Tumah Rishus HaYochid, where we suspend the principle of Safek Lekula, and we derive from Sota that Safek is Tameh, even so, there's a principle called Safek Bika. And therefore, when I go back to this Rashi, I want to read it in a little bit different way. And I want to say the following. He says the following, Rabbi Eliezer, this is the first of the middle-sized wide lines, right? Rabbi Eliezer lo chashiv le safek tuma. He's not going to apply the principle of safek tuma shosei yochid in this case. Why? Well, I mean, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't disagree with the principle that we derive from Sotav, Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid is Sfeik Otameh. The answer is, because Elin came Nichnas L'Sodeh. Rashi is saying, in order to apply the principle of Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid, I need one premise that has to be absolutely established with all certainty, and that is Nichnas L'Sodeh. He went into a Rishus HaYochid. But I don't even know if he went into that Rishus HaYochid. So there's tumah in that Rishus HaYochid. Did he have contact with the tumah and contract tumah? None, I don't know. But I have to ask a more fundamental question. Do we know for sure that he went into the Rishus HaYochid? Like, for example, a man is standing, I'll just give you a mashal. He's standing outside this door, on the threshold to the door. There's tumah on the other side of the door in the next room. Continue. Did he open the door? Did he cross the threshold? You know, before you discuss Safek Rishus HaYochid and apply the principle of Safek L'Tumah, tell me first that he went into the Rishus HaYochid. That's Rabbi Eliezer's point. And that's what I think Rashi is saying over here, that the only time I apply the principle, according to Rabbi Eliezer, of Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid Sfeik HaTameh is Im Nichnas L'Sod, he went into the place where there's Tumah, which is Rishus HaYochid. Aval Eini Yodea, he doesn't know if he came in contact with the Tumah. Heh Hiel Al HaTumah. But here we have a case of Safek Bia. And I think that if you read the Machlokas as the Mishnah formulates it, you'll see this clearly. This not, let's go back to the Mishnah. Hanichnas lebika, b'yemos hagshamim, v'tumah v'sadaplon, v'yomer echon, halachti l'makom alot, v'eini yodea im nichnasti, b'yosa sadim lo nichnasti. Rabbi Eliezer mitam, why? Why is my Eliezer mitayer? And the answer is Safek Bia. We don't know that he went in. And the Safek Bia itself changes the whole perspective. Until you know for sure that he went into the Rishus HaYochid, you don't apply the principle of Safek L'Tumah. Now take a look at the first Tosus Safek. Remember I told you there are two Tosus in here. And we started with the second one as we did yesterday. We're following that pattern again today. Let's go back to the first Tosus, Safek Ol, Safek Lo Ol. So Gemara says, Hainu Bika, Teimo L'Ri. The Ri doesn't understand this analogy. Ma Shaykh L'Dmuye, how could you even entertain a comparison here, L'Bika to Bika? The Hacha, Afilu Leka Ela Safek Echad, Ukma Cheskas Bodo. Tosus is assuming
that if you have one suffik in the case of bedikas chametz, it's going to be lakula. That's not so in the case of tumah. Now, Tosfos apparently had the girsa of Alice Sfarim that Hainu plugged to the Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan. So the Gemara is actually following through with this analogy. And Tosfos says the implication is that according to the Chachamim, since they are metame in a person who doesn't know if he went into the Sada, because the Sada is Rishus HaYochid, that if we don't know whether the Achba went into the house or not, we would paskin l'chumah. Says Tosfos, what are you talking about? We've already established that any time you made a bedika, after the bedika was implemented, was done, the bias takes on a cheskes baduk. And if you have one suffix against the cheskes baduk, then you don't require bedika. That's what Tosfos assumes. Now, Tosfos adds two words here. Kidamrino li el. Do you have anything in your Gemara, by the way, after it says kidamrino li el? You don't have anything. I have in my text a small gimel, and I'm trying to figure out as we, what? Do you have a small gimel or any sort of letter there? No?
Where is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? It's not a gimel. It's a nun. I'm sorry. It's very small. It looks like a gimel, but it's really a nun. And if I look at the nun, it says, Tosis Tesamid Beis Dira Maskil Hainu Teisha. So let's take a look at Tosfos Hainu Teisha. And Tosfos insists over there that we cannot be talking about Bedikas Chametz, because even in the worst case scenario, if you saw the Achbar going in to one of these Teisha Tziburim, and you apply the principle therefore of Kol Kavua Kemechz Al Mechze Dami, what difference does it make? It's a Sofik Derabbanan. The premise is that he already did Bittul. And in a Sofik Derabbanan, we go Lakula. And that pushes the Re over the precipice to say that no, we're talking about a case where he wasn't Mevatel his Chametz. The Re is not happy with that, because in the case of Teisha Chanuyos, there's no Cheskes Heter. Here, in the case of Bedikas Chametz, there's a Cheskes Badu. And therefore, even in one Sofik, we should go Lakula. So here we have a Machlokas between Tosfos and Rashi. Whereas Rashi says that the halacha of Sofik Lakula doesn't apply to Bedikas Chametz, as we explained over and over again, because the entire enterprise of Bedikas Chametz was established on a Sofik. And you're required, min Rabbanan, to be Bodek, even though it's only a Sofik that you have Chametz there, you have to be certain that there's no Chametz there. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that once you did the Bedika, you establish a Cheskes Baduk, and if a suffix would now arise as to whether or not the chametz went in, then you can be makil under the rule of suffix the rabbanon lekula, because it's a cheskes badon. If that be the case, then even the rabbanon in the case of Bika, who are machmir in tuma, because of rishus hayochid, they would be makil in bedikas chametz. Uli el dima oso le suffix to rishus harabim. In a word, Tosfos is left in the lurch. He leaves this as an unanswered question. Tosfos thinks that the Gemara has an equation here between the Sufik all Sufik Lol in the case of Bedikas Chametz and the Bika Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and Tosfos insists that it's irrelevant, that the Gemara doesn't have a case over here, because we've already established in Bedikas Chametz that if the bias is Baduk, it has a Chazoka, any Safek is Lakula. And here, we're talking about Tumah Rishus HaYochid, that's a special din, and the Rabbanim say that it's a Safek Lechumra, but that's because of the din of Tumah Rishus HaYochid. That has no implication as far as...
No, but also Rashi says, the Bedikas Chametz, the Rabbanan, Tumim Lakula. So what's he talking about there?
Oh, so that's what I think, that Talina Lakula means, because we don't even know if the Achra went into the house.
Right.
not because of Talina. That's what I'm suggesting, that the Talina Lakula in Rashi is not the same as Sufik Lakula in Tosis. Sufik Lakula in Tosis is basically an application of the universal rule. Whenever we have a Darabanan, and certainly when we have a Chazaka to support it, we go Lakula. And all the Sufik, and the Sufik doesn't bother me. Rashi is saying that we're looking to the bigger case to find some justification for Talina Lakula. It's going to be a special halach of Talina Lakula because of Bika. What is Bika? Rashi says Bika is Suffolk beer. We don't know if he went in there or not. Correct? There's a Sada. It has a Kever. Did he go in? He doesn't know if he went in. Here, we have an Akbar. It's in the Chatzer, holding Chometz. Did he go into the Bais? Did he not go into the Bais? Says Rashi, we're going to derive from Bika that Suffolk beer is Talina Lakula. And therefore, the Gemara needs this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim, but only to derive the principle of Safek Bia. Rashi is going to say that in Rishus HaYochid, as far as Tum is concerned, the Rabbanan insists that even Safek Bia is Tameh, right. But in the case of Bidikas Chometz, we don't have this halach of Sota, of Safek Rishus HaYochid, Safek Tameh, and therefore we're going to make this distinction between Safek Bia and Vare beer. When the Achbar went into the house, and now we want to know what was he carrying and what did he eat, what did he not eat, and so on, then we're going to say that there's no principle here of Safi Darabana Lakula. We're going to be Machmir. Unless you have a Rov, and so forth and so on. Because that's the nature of Bedikas Chometz. But if you have a Safek beer, and Rabbi Eliezer in Hilchas Tumah says that Safek beer is fundamentally different, and it doesn't even generate the halacha Safek Tumah Shasiyach and Safek Tzvekim Tameh, then if we apply that to Bdikas Chometz, here we can be Talina Lakula. But not because of the universal principle of Talina Lakula that applies to the Rabbanon. That universal principle has no application to Bdikas Chometz. But because of the din of Safek Bia, and that's what we derive from Bika. So again, even though the Rabbanon reject Safek Bia, that's only because of the nature of Tumah, where the Torah in teaching us in the Parashat Sota tells us that Safek is Tameh. That's a unique halacha in Tumah, and the Rabbanan are not willing to backtrack and remove that halacha of Safek Tameh Shasiyachid simply because of the Safek Bia. But as a principle, the Rabbanan would also accept the conceptual breakthrough of Safek Bia, and that applies to Bidikas Chometz. Now we get to the next case. And this is a very, very relevant case. It's happened to me many times. Okay, I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page. Do we have the place? We're on, if you see the Tosis all, and you count down, let's say, five lines, the first word of the line is Safek. All the Achbar went into the house. I checked the house, but now I know that the Achbar messed me up real bad. I want to get a hold of this rat. It's a real ratty rat. Because it went into my house that was baduk with a piece of chometz. So what do I have to do in such a case? I have to do a second repeat bedika. Unfortunately, baduk v'lo ashkach. He did a second round of bedika, and to his chagrin, he couldn't find the chometz. This Achbar is playing real heavy games with him. An Achbar that's so smart, it outsmarts the Yid who's looking for that chometz. Where did you put that chometz, Mr. Achbar? You know, if you were in a cartoonist, you know, what do they call it? Those movies that are full of cartoons, what do they call them? I mean to say, there's a word for the category, you know.
Animated,
right. If you were into animated movies, this sugya that we're learning could be great for animated movies. You know, you could have different scenarios with the rats going in and out and the weasels, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And maybe we should show such a film on Purim. I mean, I'm sure we'd get a whole bunch of laughs, especially for those who learned this sugya. So here's the case of all Barak v'lo Ashkach. Should he assume that, you know why he can't find the chometz? Because the chometz doesn't exist. The Achbar took good care of that chometz and consumed it. It made a bracha rishona, bracha achrona. You know, it put on its bib and it ate the chometz. The ganze business. Or no. Maybe the fact that I didn't find the chometz is because the Achbar has outsmarted me and he hid it in a place and I couldn't find it. Now, if that would be the case, what do you do? Do I pack out and live in a different house over Pesach? What's maybe we tell them to do bittul?
No, when you, if you,
do you have to do a third bidika?
Make sure you don't need it. What can you do otherwise?
Oh, maybe it means you have to do a third bidika until you finally find that chavetz. I don't know. So the Gemara says the following. Plukta de Rabbi Meir v'Rabbanu. This issue again goes back to Tumah v'Tara, and it hinges on a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. Disnan, hoy Rabbi Meir Omer, kol dover shebechezkas Tumah, li olam hu betumasa achi vadalecha hatumal hechanhi. Anything that you've established has Tumah. There's a sheretz there, there's a dead body there. You've got to absolutely establish with all certainty where it is. And if you don't find it, then it's got a cheskas tumah. So again, you had an area, let's call the circumference of the area, we'll make a circle, and in that area there was tumah. Once there's tumah in that area, the whole area gets a cheskas tumah. We assume that there's tumah until we know otherwise. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says, check and find, locate that tumah. If you don't locate the tumah, then it's tumah. Chachomim omrim, bodek ad shemagil l'sela o l'karka besula, meaning we're only going to require of him to do a superficial or a limited kind of bedika. We'll explain that bedika as we go along. And once he's done that bedika, if he didn't find the tumah, then we can say that the achbar ate up the tumah. Maybe a raven came down. You remember Edgar Allan Poe, and the raven ate up the tumah. There's no, or took away the tumah. In other words, you just have to do, say the chachamim, what we require you to do, which is called bedika, according to the restrictions and the requirements of bedika, the regulations of bedika. So, for example, he says bodek ad shemagia l'sela o l'karka besula. So the explanation here is as follows. Rashi says, this is about five lines down of the wide line, the middle-sized wide line. Kol davar shebecheskas tumah masechta nida gal tameh shenisarivim shnei galim tahorim. So we have certain piles, and one of these piles has bones in it. And there's very contemporary issues here with, you know, where Kohanim allowed to go, there are bones and all that stuff, right? So we don't know which of these three piles of stuff have crushed bones in them. And two out of three are clean. They're tar. But one of the three, which I don't know which we can identify it, is tamen. Badku echad mehem. They check through one to see if they can find any pieces of body, and tar. They found that this gal doesn't have any tumor in it. Now what we're going to say is, hutar ushnaim tmeim. The other two, we have to assume, again, only one of the two is really tummy. We're going to have to assume both of them are tummy in this suffix case. But now what he did was, Shnayim, he checked the other two, Umatzan Tahorim. I'm sorry, Shnayim, Venimsa Tahorim, Umatzan Tahorim. Now he looked in the second one, and he found that the second one, just like the first one that he checked, is also clean of any tumah, is Shnayim Tahorim, Vashlishi Tahorim. Now he has to assume that the third one has the tumah. Shloshta, now he checks the third one, Umatzah Tahorim. He finds that there's nothing in the third one. Now we know that one of the three had tumah in it. What are you going to do in this case? Are you going to assume that the third one is tumah? No, I checked the third one, I didn't find his tumah. I checked the first one, the second one, the third one. I checked all three. So Rabbi Meir says, kulam tumah. We still don't know which one is tummy, and if we have to be mitame all three. What do you mean which one is tummy? None of them are tummy. He checked all three. But the answer is no, because we know that there was tumah there. Now you want to tell me the tumah it dissipated into thin air? We don't know that that's so. Until you locate the tumah, you have to assume the tumah is there. You don't know where it is, you have to be mitame all three. Shahai Rabbi Meir Over, Kol Dovr Shebecheskas Tumah, Li'olam hi betum asa achi vada l'cha tumah hechan hi. Until you find that tumah, you have to assume that the tumah is still there, because it has a chazaka, and you have to arrive at a certainty that will remove that chazaka. Chom omrim bodek bekarka v'chofer ad shi'agil l'sela o l'karka besula shalo shalo zazam imkoma li'olo. Excuse me. V'yim lo matza tolin v'omrim ba orev v'notla ba achbar v'notla. So there are restrictions and guidelines as to what is the required bidika. And what he has to do is, he's got to go through this gal, you know, this pile, until he gets to sela. Sela means a solid rock. So there are parts of this gal that are chopped up, you know, they're made of soft material, and there might be tumah inside. And then at some point he gets to a stone, a hard stone. There's no tumah in a stone. It's solid. And what he arrives at is a complete bidika, because beyond that stone there's nothing more that's broken down into particles that could have a particles of tumah in it. Or alternatively, he gets to the point where he gets the karka basula, which means to an area that was never touched, it was never dug up in the world. And at this point, the Chachamim say, since he fulfilled the requirements and the regulations of Bedika, he can assume, he has a right to assume that the animal came along, whatever animal it is, and it removed the tumah. So again, let's just go over this. Rabbi Meir says, once you have a cheskes tumah, you got to find the tumah. You have to check and check and check until you find it. If you don't find it, everything's tameh, because that's the power of the chazok. The chacham say, no, we're going to set up the boundaries of bedika. You fulfill those requirements of bedika, and then we assume that whatever tumah was there was removed. Says Rashi, the first of the wide lines, these are the real wide lines, he says, v'gabi bedikas chametz. So the achbar went into the house with chametz. You checked and you couldn't find the chametz. Afilu l'Rabbi Meir. Again, this is Rashi, very consistent. Afilu l'Rabbi Meir amrinon achbar ochla debedikas chametz rabbanan. Now this Rashi bothers me tremendously, and you're going to have to give me the weekend to try to figure it out, because this Rashi contradicts everything we've been building on. Rashi says that bedikas chametz is drabbanan. Okay, bedikas chametz is drabbanan. But Rabbi Meir says you have a chazaka that there's chametz there, and once there's chazaka there's chametz there, the chametz went in. You have to be absolutely certain that you can find and locate the chametz. You went in, you didn't find the chametz. Now again, I don't know what the din would have been exactly, whether you have to do a third bedika or what. But Rashi now applies the principle of suffik drabbanan lekula. We just finished saying over and over again that the principle of Safik Drabbanan Lekula is suspended with regard to chametz. To bedikas chametz. Tosus says tema. If you take a look at Tosus, all afilu Rabbi Meir diomer liolam hi becheskes tuma benafkamina letarish and asal gam hochgavi bedika kevan shebadak v'lo matza ma yase. What are you going to tell me? I looked again. I didn't find it. Yatsrichu lived on pam shnia. Tell him to do another bedika. Is nami lo yimsa? He won't find it again. Like the Rama says, you know, technically, if you didn't have kavana during Shmon Esrei, you should repeat Shmon Esrei. Says Rama that you're going to repeat Shmon Esrei again, you won't have kavana. So what did you gain by repeating it? So now Tosus has a problem, because Tosus assumes that the answer to the question of Alu Barak Velo Ashkach is a machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Rabban. According to Rabbi Meir, you have a problem. How do you solve that problem? Are you going to institute a requirement of a second bidika, and then he's going to find the third bidika? He can't find that piece of chametz. What are you going to do? So Rashi Pirish, Dafilu Rabbi Meir Diomar, Emar Achbar Achalte. Devdikas chametz ein el midrabanan. So Rashi is saying the following, that even Rabbi Meir would agree that in the case of Bidikas chametz, he has a right to be tola on the achbar, that the achbar ate the chametz. Why? Because in a drabanan we could be makil kosher. Dove hedge amar plukta the Rabbi Meir rabanan. The Gemara has our Gersa says plukta the Rabbi Meir rabanan, meaning that this, the answer to that question of Alu Barak Velo Ashkach, is going to be that Rabbi Meir is not happy with the situation. Yeshlomo Demayri Vishlo Bitla. We're talking about Do'orai. So Ka'omar Rabbi Meir, Dil Rabbi Meir Lo Sagi Bibdika, Kevin Lo Ashkach, Vavi Sofek, Lav Dilo Yimotzi, Tzok Levatlo. The question here, this whole issue in this sugya, according to Tosus, can be reduced to one question. Does he have to do bittul? Does he not have to do bittul? You and I would have said, what's the big deal? Let him do bittul. But the Gemara wants to say that whether he requires bittul in order to protect himself from Bal Yirah depends upon Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Whereas the Chachamim say you don't need bittul because you did bedika. And we have every reason to rely on your bedika. You didn't find the chametz that went in. It was taken away by the Orev. Rabbi Meir on the other hand says, no. We're not going to rely on this bedikah because we know this chametz there. If you don't know this chametz there, you can rely on your bedikah. But if you know this chametz there, you got to find the chametz. You don't find the chametz, we have to assume this chametz there. And then you're going to violate Bal Yirah by Matzah. And if you must do bittul, so the Chacham would say you don't need bittul because you fulfilled your obligation of bedikah. And we can always assume that the Orev came and took the... But according to Rabbi Meir, no. It's not enough to say, well, I did what I had to do and I implemented my bedikah. You've got to find that chametz. If you don't find that chametz, you have to assume it's there, even though you don't find it. And therefore you're going to violate Bal Yirah b'Matzah. Your only solution here is bittul. The afil Rabbi Meir delo airi elu b'sofik tumid d'oraisa v'l hochel b'dikas chametz d'rabanan shari. Now, I'm a little bit confused here. Tosus just finished saying Mairi b'shalo batla. And therefore Rabbi Meir is going to say that you need bittul. What's Visagi Afilu Rabbi Meir? Oh, I see. The Tosfos is saying the following. If Rabbi Meir holds that we can't rely on your bedika, and it must be that if there's a cheskas tuma and you didn't find it, you didn't do a good bedika. It's not a reliable bedika. You have to go back and check it again. So what are you going to... Yeah?
Because that's a derisive. That's why we may holds you have to do that.
So Tosa wants to say that Lechora, even on a Drabbanan level, Rabbi Meir should say that if this Bedika is unreliable, then we can't rely on the Bedika. So what are you going to do here? Definitely you're going to require what? Bittul. Now that you've required Bittul, you reduce Bedika's chametz to a Drabbanan. So Tosa asks the following question. He says, Visagi, why is that enough? Rabbi Meir doesn't rely on your bedika. You didn't do a good bedika. So I grant you that the bedika after bittul is only the Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan require that you do a reliable bedika. Says Tosis, Delo Airi Elibis Sofik Tumidoraisa. When does Rabbi Meir say we can't rely on your no good bedika because you didn't find the results? Tachlis, where were your results? That's only when we're dealing with a Doraisa. When we're dealing with Doraisa, Rabbi Meir insists that you have a cheskas tumah, you have to find that tumah, and until don't go to sleep until you find that tumah. And I'm not going to rely on your bedik if you tell me you didn't find the tumah. That's only on a Doraisa level. But when the Rabbanan enacted bedika, they would say that, you know what, you did your bedik, you followed all the laws, all the rules, and you were a good boy, and you didn't find the chametz. If you didn't find the chametz, it must be that the chametz was taken away. So we now have two different chiyuvei bedika that are fundamentally categorically different one from the other. There's a chiyuvei bedika d'oraisa in the case of tumah, and Rabbi Meir says you've got to, we can't rely on that bedika. We know that there was chametz there, and your bedika is a faulty bedika. It's going to be tumei until you find the tumah. But in the case of a bedika derabbanan, meaning you already were mevatel your chametz, the rabbanan didn't say, well, you need a bedika that has to succeed, that has to have, what they call totzel bashetach,
you know, then you should show, well, I found the chametz. No, no, the Rabbanan is saying, do your bedika, fulfill your requirements. Here's the list of, you know, 10 how to do bedikas. And if you can check off the entire list, that's it. The Rabbanan is saying, go home. Ah, you didn't find the chametz? The Orev took it. But if it were bedika d'oraisa to establish tumah, then Rabbi Meir says, we're not going to rely on your bedika because you have a cheskes tumah, and that cheskes tumah will continue and persevere until you find the tumah. So just before I let you go, let's just review this last point in Tosfos and summarize this Tosfos. Tosfos quotes Rashi, and Rashi holds that even Rabbi Meir would hold that we can go lekula over here. Why? Because you did your bedika. Tosfos rejects Rashi because the Girsa of the Gemara says Hainu bepluto de Rabbi Meir and Rabbana, meaning that Rabbi Meir is not going to rely on your bedika. So Tosfos first tries to answer that question by saying that he wasn't mevatel his chametz, and what the Gemara means by introducing Rabbi Meir is to say that the only way out of this, the only solution in this case, is to require bedika. I'm sorry, to require bitl, I meant to say. What the Gemara means by quoting Rabbi Meir here is dil Rabbi Meir lo sagi bedika. We're not going to rely on this bedika. We have a problem by Rabbi Matzah because we really believe the chametz is still there according to Rabbi Meir because of the cheskes chametz. And now you have no recourse other than bittul. And what is the bittul going to accomplish? It'll protect you on a deraisa level from by Rabbi Matzah. And then even Rabbi Meir would rely on a bedika d'rabban. Why? Because bedika d'rabban is different than a bedika d'oraisa. In tumah d'oraisa, he's not going to rely on a faulty bedika. Tachlis, where are the totzot pasheta? We don't see the tumah. But in a case of bedika d'rabbanon, where he already did bittul, then even Rabbi Meir would back off, and he would say we could rely on this bedika. All right, Rabbi Moshe, we'll stop here. I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for the whole week of learning, and wish everyone a great Shabbos. If anyone's interested in learning Chumash, come by at 10:40. Okay.